Thank you, Dr. Comfort. What an honor to be at Ambassador Baptist College, and I don't take this privilege lightly. And I thank the Lord that I get to be here for your missions conference. I kind of think that probably this week is a little bit like a revival for you.
Amen.
And thank God for the privilege that we have to be around all these great missionaries. And that was an absolutely amazing, wonderful presentation that God gets glory for, because that's what missions work is all about. Thank God for men who will go and men who will stay and men who will do what God has called them to do. Thank you, Dr. Comfort, for your vision for the world. Students, I hope you appreciate the fact that you are privileged to sit under the ministry of a great man of God. And Dr. Comfort has truly touched the world. And I'm thankful for his influence in my life. It's been many, many years since I have seen him. And I'm delighted to be here today and this week. And thank God for the privilege. And as I look around, you know, I know some people here that might be good, that might be bad, you know. The truth is they know me, too. And that's probably the bad part. You know, you get into a meeting and sometimes you think you know somebody. You look at him, you say, have I met you before? And you wonder, you know, if you really know that person. I heard about this fellow who was speeding down the interstate. And this state trooper pulled him over and said, sir, I need to see your license. And his wife was sitting next to him and she couldn't hear real well. And she leaned across the seat and said, what did he say? He said he wants to see my license. The police officer was looking at his driver's license and said, oh, I see you're from Alabama. And his wife leaned across the seat and said, what did he say? He said he sees we're from Alabama. And about that time, the police officer started laughing. He said, you know, I used to know a woman from Alabama. He said, she was the meanest and ugliest woman I think I've ever met. About that time, his wife leaned across the seat and said, what did he say? He said he thinks he knows you. Someone as well said, living above with saints we love, oh, that'll be glory. But living below with saints we know, that's a different story. Thank God we can learn to love one another and we can work together. And you know, students, I want to encourage you. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. And I'm so excited about the potential that I see in this auditorium today. If you keep your eyes on Christ, you trust the Lord, you will be absolutely amazed at what God will do in and through your life. I got saved when I was 9 years old. I was born and raised in a Southern Baptist home. I'm thankful that I became an independent Baptist at age 13. Someone said, what would you be if you weren't an independent Baptist? Truth is, I'd be ashamed, you know. When I see New Testament Christianity, I see independent fundamental Baptist. And I believe that's what God wants us to be. And I got with the right crowd. I began to hear things preached and the Bible taught like I'd never heard in my life. And God began to stir my heart. And God began to change my life. And I am absolutely thankful for everything that God has done for me. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 3. We'll read here in just a moment. Joshua chapter 3. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, great things tomorrow. These are exciting days to serve the Lord. Someone said that they would have loved to have lived back when Jesus lived in His day. And those were exciting days, no doubt about it, to walk with the Lord. But the truth is, I love my days. These are the days that God has given to me. And the fact of the matter is, I do walk with the Lord, don't you? I do talk with the Lord. And God leads me. And you say, oh yes, Pastor, but the 21st century, we have obstacles today. And yes, there are obstacles, but thank God for all the opportunities. Listen, in our lifetime, the old Eastern Bloc countries have opened up. In our lifetime, we have the advancement of what we call modern technology. Can you imagine what Paul the Apostle would be doing in the 21st century if he had all the technology at his disposal like we have today? Kind of puts us to shame. But listen, we live in great days. We are right on the verge of major Bible prophecies being fulfilled in this present generation. I say I'm thankful that God has let me serve on foreign soil for 27 years. I'm originally from Detroit. I don't know, students, if you knew that Detroit was in the Bible, but it is. The Bible talks about the quick and the dead. That's Detroit. If you're not quick, you might be dead. I do have southern roots, though. My mother was born and raised in the great state of North Carolina. Amen. Just about an hour and a half from here. In fact, she's with the Lord now. Her body was placed in a family cemetery in Jefferson, North Carolina. My father was born and raised in Kentucky. Just recently, my dad's family started wearing shoes. I mean, they're real backward. My dad was born, listen to this, you're not going to believe it. My dad was born in Stinking Creek, Kentucky. My parents moved in the 1940s to Michigan looking for work, as a lot of Southerners did. They met each other, got married, raised their families there. And so I was born and raised in Michigan, Southern roots, and now God has let me serve Him in the greater Toronto area. And I'm so thankful for that because God placed me right into the middle of multiculturalism. God thrust me right into the heart of one of the most multicultural cities in all the world, 4 million people, people from all over the globe, and God has nurtured in that place in me a heart for the world. We have 40 nations represented at Faithway Baptist Church. And I'm absolutely thrilled with it. And you know, I've seen God do some amazing things in a place where people have actually believed that it can't be done. Amen. I mean, you can't build a church in Canada. Come on. They're socialistic. They're New Age. They're Roman Catholic. They have an anti-God philosophy. You can't build a church. You know, the truth is, students, sometimes we don't see things like they really are. It's like that fellow went to see the psychiatrist. He said, "Doctor, you've got to help me." He said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I think I'm a dog." He said, "How long have you thought this way?" He said, "Ever since I was a puppy." He said, "Well, don't worry about it. It's no big deal." He said, "What do you mean, don't worry about it? It's no big deal." The doctor said, my brother thinks he's a chicken. "A chicken?" "My brother thinks he's a chicken." He says, "Why don't you tell him he's not?" He says, "Oh, I can't do that. Mother says we need the eggs." You know, sometimes we just don't see things the way they really are. The fact that people don't love God and the fact that they're following a false God and the fact that they're hardened perhaps to the truth, those are not reasons to not go. Listen, those are the reasons to go. And God has done some amazing things in a place where we wondered if God would really work. You see, the Bible says we walk by faith. Amen. We trust the Lord. And because we walk by faith, we believe that God can do anything. I often tell our young people, it's never as much as God can do. Because God can do anything. It's always as much as we will allow God to do. And God is only limited by our unbelief or by our disobedience. I want you to think about Israel. For 40 years, they had lived in the midst of disobedience. For 40 years, they had trudged through the wilderness with the consequences of their fearful and unbelieving heart. And now the Bible says in Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 1, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I want you to think about this phrase in verse 5. Sanctify yourselves. What's the reason, Joshua? For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. How many of you believe God wants to do wonders among you? Amen. The Bible says tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. In our context of this passage of Scripture, Israel had failed to believe God. Israel had departed from the truth and the very promise of God and all that God had desired to do for them. I can't help but think, as I think about Baptist fundamentalism here, as we've now moved well into the 21st century, how we have departed from the promises of God. How we are leaning more upon the ingenuity of man, and how we have, even to our own demise, fallen prey to the materialistic power concept of the American mindset, and even trying to build ministries. In essence, we're not even really building ministries. We're building monuments to our own ignorance because we've not obeyed God. Listen, God has given us one thing to do, students, and that task is to reach the world. Israel failed in moving into the promised land, and God dealt with them for all of those years, and now on the verge, on the brink of seeing the blessing of God, God tells Joshua, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Go back to chapter 1 if you would. As we think about God doing great things, we see a prelude here to this event where Joshua has prepared the people, and as they stand on the brink of passing through the waters of Jordan to go over into the promised land, I want you to think about God doing great things tomorrow. And I want you to think about being the recipient of those great things. And then I want you to think about being the participant in those great things. And I want to say, students, first of all today, that great things come to people that are decisive. Great things come to people that are decisive. You say, that was a wonderful presentation on Brazil. But wait a second. It came to a man. It came to a woman who had yielded their lives to God, and they were decisive about what God wanted them to do. Great things come to students that are decisive. Look at verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, I guess that you understand in verse 1, there is some unfinished business. Moses has died. God's children are not in the promised land yet. There is some unfinished business. And God says in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. God says in verse 2 to Joshua, it's time to arise and go. Young people, God blesses initiative. God blesses initiative. I'm not talking about some fella running off, you know, half cocked with his mind, you know, thinking about things that he ought not to think about, saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But I'm talking about Spirit-filled, Bible-directed, God-ordained directions, that type of initiative. You remember David chose Joab to be his captain. He said, whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. And while other soldiers were sitting around thinking, boy, I wonder who's going to do that, Joab jumped up and ran and got the job done. Isaiah the prophet had a vision of God. And when he saw himself in light of who God was, the Lord God said, whom shall I send? And immediately Isaiah took the initiative and he said, here am I, send me. Can I tell you, young ladies, that Rebecca became the wife of Isaac, became the mother of the seed of Israel? Can I tell you that she became his wife because when he rolled into town with Abraham's servant, she took some godly initiative and went beyond the call of duty and became the wife of the son of Abraham? There was a lad one day sitting with a great crowd of people, and Jesus had been teaching. And it was time to feed the crowd. And there were 5,000 men plus women and children. And how in the world were they going to get fed? And that lad, can I suggest to you, went beyond all that he thought he would ever be able to do. And he gave his lunch to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus took that lunch and blessed it and fed all that multitude. He did not have to give his lunch, but he took the initiative to give his lunch. And God blessed it. Listen, to have initiative today is to be like God.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, if it was up to us, we'd all still be lost and on our way to hell. It was God that took the initiative in our life. And we can talk about David, and we should, and we can preach about Joab and Isaiah and Rebekah and that unnamed lad. But the fact of the matter is today, young people, we ought to be imitating them. We ought to arise and go. There's an attitude that has crept into our churches today that building the church and seeing the work of God is some kind of mystical sit back and wait and watch it happen thing. But I want to tell you something. That is not rooted in the Bible. Building a local church, winning souls to Jesus Christ, taking time to disciple those new converts. Are you listening? It's work. It's work. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The disciples asked the question in Acts chapter 1. They said, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And the truth of the matter is, Dr. Comfort, that boggles my mind, because up to this point in time, those apostles really hadn't done anything yet. Up to this point in time, the apostles had sort of, you know, just held on to the coat of the Lord Jesus. Yes, they had served, and yes, they had helped, but they really hadn't done the work of the ministry yet. And here they are saying, is it time for us to rest? Is it time for us to kick back? Is it time for us to rule? Is it time for us to retire? Why is it that we're always looking forward to resting? It's a bad thing, by the way, when you wake up in the morning and as you step out of bed, your first thought is, when can I take a nap? Jesus said it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into His own power. He said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, unto Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen, the Bible says we ought to be thinking about our future in light of the unfinished business. And to Israel, God said, Joshua, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. Take that land that I've given you. And I say, students, to the local New Testament church, He says, arise and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah. Our future is about being decisive. Our future is about taking initiative to put the go back into the gospel. 6.7 billion people. 6.7. Can you comprehend that? 6.7 billion people. And I say it's about time that independent fundamental Baptist preachers and those committed to the cause of Christ put the Great Commission back on the front burner where it belongs in the work of God. Instead of bracing ourselves, instead of holding on, you know, oh, it's so bad out there. They might have a president that hates God. What are we going to do? That attitude gives an aspirin a headache, you know? When I played basketball, I thought that the best defense was a good offense. And Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. Jesus wasn't saying the church just sits back and does nothing and tries to fight off the devil. No, the local church is charging the very gates of hell. And we're taking the gospel out where the very seat of Satan is. And we can march forward, young men, in victory, knowing that we can power. And the Bible says the gospel is the power of God. We don't have to be ashamed today. We don't have to be ashamed. It says in verse 2, arise and go. Are you decisive? If not, great things won't come to you. Great things come to people that are decisive. But notice secondly, not only people that are decisive, but people that are dependent. Great things come to people of dependence. The scripture says in verse 2, arise, go over this Jordan thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. I want you to pay attention to this phrase at the end of verse 2. God says, which I do give to them. I give to them. Listen, it's all of grace. Amen. Amen. Everything we have is because of the grace of God. Amen. Everything that God has done up to this point and everything that God will do in your life beyond this point, it's all about His grace. Listen, God doesn't need us, but thank God we need Him today. Amen. Bible says in verse number 2, I want to give it to you. What do you want to give? Verse 3, every place. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, here it is, that have I given unto you. Verse 4, from the wilderness, this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, the Bible says, shall be your coast. Students, God wants to expand your horizons. And the truth of the matter is, we must be willing to get our feet moving. God didn't save you to sit down and sit. God saved you to get up and get. Amen. And the Bible says all the places that your feet tread upon, the Bible says, I've given that to you. Now notice, every promise that God has given to us, every promise that we claim is an inheritance that God has already given. And the truth of the matter is, they missed out on all this for 40 years because they didn't believe God, because they didn't move into the promised land, because they didn't get their feet moving to possess the land. I want to tell you something. The field is the world. And God has called His church to possess the land. And the truth of the matter is, we are losing ground because we're standing back, not realizing that that's land that God has given to us. Amen. The cults are captivating our cities. The cults are captivating our counties. The cults are captivating our country. The cults are captivating the countries of the world. While we sit back and wonder, could I really do that? Should I really trust the Lord for that? I want to tell you something. God is waiting today for somebody to believe His promises, to step out and trust Him and all what God might do for you. It's never as much as God can do, because God can do anything. I don't believe God's given us a plan that He has devised to fail. Amen. The truth of the matter is, I believe that God has given us a perfect plan. A perfect plan. I'm glad Brother Ray gets to be here. I thank God for Brother Ray and what he's doing. My wife and I had the privilege to be in China a few years ago. Let's suppose we could freeze the population of China at 1 billion. Now we can't, but let's just suppose we could. So that nobody would be born and nobody would die. And let's suppose we took a team from Ambassador Baptist College into China, and we had a great evangelistic campaign, and we filled an auditorium with people, and we preached the gospel, and on the very first night, 3,000 people got saved. Man, we'd get to the nearest computer, we'd fire off an email, praise God, another Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. We'd be so excited about it. Let's suppose we preached again the next day, and 3,000 people got saved. And the next day, 3,000 people got saved. And the next day, 3,000 people. And we continued to do it day after day after day. Listen, it would take 913 years to win China to Christ. If we could freeze the population so nobody would be born and nobody would die.
But wait a second. Let's suppose we did it like the Bible tells us to do. Let's suppose we went in and won 3,000 people to the Lord and taught those 3,000 people that they had a personal responsibility before God to win somebody else to the Lord and teach them. And then those 3,000 multiplied and won 3,000 and taught those, and they taught somebody else, and they kept winning people, and they taught somebody else. It would take 31 days. Now, I understand that that's a little extreme and so on, but I want to tell you something. If we did it God's way, we could certainly cut back some of the time. If we did it God's way, we could certainly win more people to Christ. If we did it God's way, we could be fulfilling the Great Commission instead of failing at what God has given us to do. You see, God says, I am with you. Notice what he says in verse number 5 of our text. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. What a great verse for a missionary to take to the foreign field. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Notice three promises in that verse. God says, first of all, I will be with thee. God says, secondly, I will not fail thee. God says, thirdly, I will not forsake thee. We must face our future. People that are decisive. People that are dependent upon God. Thirdly, great things come to people that are daring. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, I have learned along the way, students, that if God wants you to do something, thank God you can do it.
Amen.
Now, I used to think everybody would love me. I heard people come into Bible College Chapel, like Dr. Comfort, he'd preach in chapel and other preachers when I was a student and so on. And from time to time, different pastors would talk about difficulties in the ministry and hard times they were having in their church. And I thought, good night, that's not going to happen to me, man. Everybody's going to love me. To know me is to... How can you... Don't you love me? To know me is to love me, you know? But then I found out that you can please some of the people all the time. You can please all the people some of the time, but you'll never please all the people all the time. And then I found out there are some people in our church, man, you can't please them. They're born in the objective case. I object. I object. You do understand something, that the reason Israel had waited for so long to get into the promised land were the objectors. Were those that said, what's the matter with you being so fanatical about reaching the world? You can't do anything about it. Why don't you just stay home and raise a family and so on? And there are always those objectives, but I want to tell you, we must dare, young people, to trust God with the Great Commission. We don't have a career. We have a calling. A calling. Listen, can I remind you that David faced a giant? Daniel faced a den of lions? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three asbestos Jews, faced the fiery furnace, and God protected them. And Jesus says to my generation and to your generation, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Daring to believe God defies all the human impossibilities. All the human impossibilities.
Yeah.
Listen, there are less than 225 independent fundamental Baptist churches in the nation of Canada. And yet, thank God, we're seeing some churches started. Thank God, we're seeing men excited about the Lord. Thank God, we're seeing some impossible things happen. I say to you, young men, dare to believe God. Dare to walk this aisle. Surrender to the mission field. Dare to leave this college and go out and rent a storefront somewhere. Start a Baptist church like we used to do 30 and 40 years ago. Dare to believe the Lord. Dare to trust God. Listen, put God's word to the test. I'll tell you something today. He will not fail you. People that are daring. And I want to say finally today, people that are dedicated. Not only people that are decisive. Not only people, thank God, that are dependent upon the Lord, and we must all depend upon God. Not only people that are daring, but people that are dedicated. We go back to chapter number 3 where we started. God's people are prepared. God's people are ready. The Scripture says in verse 4, "Ye have not passed this way heretofore." I've never been in full-time ministry, Pastor. I'm here preparing for it. I'm here taking these classes. I'm here because I believe God wants me to serve Him somewhere, someday. "Ye have not passed this way heretofore." What is the important thing to do then at missions conference? What is the important thing to do today in light of tomorrow? Verse 5. "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." That word sanctify is an important word. Set yourself apart today to God. Set yourself apart away from the world. Set yourself away apart unto God. It's talking here about several things in the text. It's talking about some physical purification and so on. We make application of spiritual purification. And I say to you, young people, today, you must purify your heart. You must purify your heart. God will not do great things in and through a dirty vessel. The Bible says, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Listen, get yourself in a place today where you know your heart is right with God, where you know your motives are pure, where you know that you have given everything to God, where you know that you are ready and willing to do whatever God speaks to you about. And listen, prepare yourself today, for tomorrow God wants to take you out into the harvest fields of the world, and God wants to demonstrate His faithfulness, and God wants to work in you so He can work through you to show this old world that there is a God in heaven. I say today, sanctify yourself. People that are dedicated. People that are dedicated. The truth is, I believe that if God gets the man, He gets everything about that man.
Amen. Amen.
If God will get your heart, young ladies, He'll have everything attached to your life. Attached to your life. Sanctify yourself. There's a world. There's a world that needs you. But wait a second. Wait a second. There's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven that deserves your worship. And we go to the world because God loves the world. And because we love God, Israel, for all those years, had stopped looking at God and started looking at themselves. Israel, for all those wasted years, read the book of Hebrews. How wicked they were. An evil heart of unbelief. Oh, it's an evil thing to doubt God today. And to doubt what God could do through your life. For all of those years, they lived under the constant funeral dirge as hour after hour they buried those adult men. It was a constant reminder, we should have obeyed God. We should have listened to God. We should have trusted God. We should have marched forward in victory. Young people, you don't want to live your life beyond your college days in the what could have been.
Amen. Amen.
Great things tomorrow. We have a great God. And our great God has given us His great commission. His great commission. Today, sanctify yourself. For tomorrow, the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd stir our hearts with a passion for what we ought to be for our God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that You might create in each one of us a desire to be transparent, a desire to be revived, a desire today to have Your presence real in our hearts, that we might dare to trust You, that we might be decisive today, that we might attempt great things for God because of what You've done in our hearts and in our lives. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Students, You've been very receptive today, and I thank You for it. I want to ask You this question today. Are you in your heart right now? Are you ready to open up your heart? Are you ready today, right now, to say, Lord, I want to clean up my life. If you'll show me what it is, I'll confess it. Are you ready today, student, to tell God that you are going to set yourself apart to Him and for Him? Are you willing to do that today? I pray that you will be. And if that's your prayer, and if that's your desire, I pray today that you'll seal that commitment on a bended knee before a holy God, and that this morning, Missions Conference, Chapel Hour, you will sanctify yourself.